in. We don't know if some of them could have been wounded even during the attack on October 7th, but they will be brought here and they will be given then the opportunity in the hospitals to finally meet their families after 49 days.
ABC's Patrick Rievel. More Black Friday discounts are meant to entice American shoppers to open their wallets even more. But overall, consumers may be a bit weary this holiday season, saddled with higher credit card debt and watching their savings dwindle. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. After binging on today's Black Friday sales, Wisconsin leaders are urging people to spend the rest of the season shopping small. Now through December 31st is Shop Small Wisconsin season. Governor Evers says shopping locally benefits local economies and communities overall. More people with disabilities are flying than ever before, and they're filing more complaints with federal authorities. Kendra Davenport of Easter Seals says air travel needs to be more accessible.
When the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, it really mandated that most modes of transit adopt modalities that would make them more accessible, and air travel was given a pass.
Advocates want Congress to legislate improvements by 2026. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A holiday tradition continues with an expanded schedule this weekend, including games on Black Friday. Football and Thanksgiving have been served up together for more than 140 years, the first featuring college teams Yale and Princeton. The NFL, National Football League, took over the holiday games in 1920. By the 1930s, Detroit became host to the yearly game. And the Packers kicked off one of the longest runs as a regular Lions opponent on Thanksgiving. A few games stand out, and some football experts point at the 1962 matchup. An undefeated Packers team lost in Detroit when the Lions beat Green Bay 26-14 after sacking quarterback Bart Starr 11 times. The Packers and Lions also hold the record for one of the holiday games with the highest score. Green Bay won this one in 1986, 44-40. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies this afternoon with a high of 28.
Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, 18. High of 30 tomorrow. A dusting of snow Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 23.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mullen. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. Welcome in. It is Black Friday, the 24th of November, 2023, just past the hour of noon. Glad to have you along on this holiday weekend. Mr. Zommers, how in the world are you?
Probably very good.
He brings up probably because through the magic of radio, we are not coming to you live today. Well, we're live and we're recording this, but we're recording it a couple of days before Thanksgiving, just so that all of us here at Civic Media, yourself included, can have time with their family over the holiday weekend. So today's show is pre-recorded, but we have some original content in here we're going to share with you today as well. So glad to have you along with it with us. Hopefully it was a good Thanksgiving for each and every one of you yesterday. We don't know yet as we record this. Hopefully the Packers got a win. those of you listening on Good Friday Black Friday, we'll know that. But the big game left here this weekend for Wisconsin football fans is tomorrow. Tomorrow, when the Wisconsin Badgers travel to Minnesota to take on the PJ Flexters, better known as the Minnesota Golden Gophers. The battle for the axe. You understand, Mr. Zommers? If there's one game you want to win every year as a Badger fan in football, it's the battle for the axe.
This Saturday, the battle for the axe.
Indeed. Game time, I believe, 2:30. 2:30 tomorrow.
Yes, 2:30.
2:30 across the Badger Radio Network. And if you are so fortunate to live in one of our communities at Civic Media that carry the game, that includes Richland Center on WRCE in Wisconsin Rapids, WFHR, and Amory, WLAK, and in Racine, Kenosha, WRJN, you can hear that game over the air on one of those fine stations in Civic Media. Otherwise, here's good news for modern man and woman. It is great news, as a matter of fact. You can still listen to the game via the Civic Media app. Now, I've used this all the way out in Denver, Colorado to listen to Badger football, so it can work any place that you have internet or Wi-Fi, or as they say in Central America, Wi-Fi. If you have the Wi-Fi, the Wi-Fi, the internet, you can download the Civic Media app. You can listen to it. Scroll down to your favorite station that carries it. I recommend WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. Click on that, and you can hear Matt LaPay and Mark Tauscher call the game tomorrow afternoon, 2:30. This Saturday, tomorrow, you can listen to the Battle for the Axe. Wisconsin takes on the Minnesota Golden Gophers. I'm looking forward to it. I think Wisconsin's going to win. I was a little hesitant, but I think that they got back on track last week. I think Wisconsin brings home the axe, where it needs to be, by the way.
I think now that they said the problem out loud, that some of the players just are not dedicated, that really forces them to either kick it in gear or get out.
And a lot of the guys really stepped it up a notch last week against Nebraska. I'm proud of them.
Absolutely.
So that's coming up. Hopefully you can enjoy that. Mr. Zommers, are you a Black Friday shopper?
Not in person.
Yeah,
I have.
You're an onliner.
Online sometimes. Yeah. I'm not waking up at 4 a.m. to do online shopping or go anywhere. I know in years past, I remember reading all about it, seeing ads on TV, getting the paper ads in the mail. And my mom would be like, all right, I'm getting up at 4 a.m. to go to Kohl's and wherever else, get all the gifts.
Yeah.
And I have seen too many stories of people getting severely injured or killed by flying TVs in a Walmart to endanger myself in that way.
Not worth it. Not worth it.
Especially with how convenient online shopping is, unfortunately.
It changed it all, right? I went through there was a period where my sister and brother-in-law, we kind of celebrate either early in Thanksgiving and they go back to their in-laws, or we do it a different day. So my mom and I would kind of be alone on Black Friday, and we would get up. And there was, she used to host a Christmas thing for a ladies organization. So we would go from Richland Center and drive to Madison at like 4 in the morning to buy $2 poinsettias at Home Depot. I mean, that was the big purchase. They get
at
like
Home Depot.
At Home Depot, they used to have like $2 point, and they were pretty nice poinsettias. You know, we get like 8 of them or whatever for $2 a piece, and then occasionally there might be a big ticket item. So I have done it, and it is. I mean, there is a certain thing about getting up and having hot cocoa or coffee and driving down, and you're sitting there. It's more fun to observe, right? To sit in the parking lot and see like people parking on the grass and on medians. And I mean, you would think that these stores were giving away $1 million. I mean, people just go hog wild.
The one time I do go shopping on Black Friday in person is to local game stores, which I'm sure surprises nobody if they've listened to this. Yeah. In Manitowoc, Stockpile Games is the only game store, but either way, it's the game store of choice there. They usually have pretty good deals on Black Friday with like buy one, get one half off, or buy one, get one free, depending on, you know, what type of product it is. So I'll usually do a little bit of Christmas shopping there.
I try to, when I can, support local, and encourage all of you, wherever you're listening to us, to take a moment and do some local Saturday shopping, or even Black Friday, and support those local stores where we can. But yeah, occasionally the big boxers have some deals you just can't pass up. So maybe you're looking.
Stockpile's not a big boxer. That's a local game store. But yes.
Maybe you're looking for a hat. And there's a quick clip I want to play. We're not going to do a lot of politics today, but Nikki Haley, Republican presidential candidate, former governor, she was campaigning down in Iowa this week. And I thought this was just magical. It explains so much about politics, all politics. Here's a cut of Nikki Haley from this week in Iowa campaigning for president. And she sees a young girl wearing a Nikki Haley for president hat on. And she tells the kid, geez, I love your hat. And here's what happens.
I love your hat. Thank you. What if your guys gave it to me for free?
I thought that was great.
That's amazing. The honesty of children. Right?
The honesty. And Nikki Haley thinks, oh, I'll score some points. I'll show that I'm connected with the kids. And the girl is probably 10 years old. She's like, yeah, thanks. Your people just gave it to me for free.
Which I'm sure in her mind was a compliment.
Right. She thought it was great. She was like, oh, thank you for the hat. Nikki Haley was trying to say, no, I have grassroots support. But no, it was just all a fake.
Which I think that's very funny.
And when you run a campaign, that's like one of the last things you want your candidate to do is to walk into something like that. So if you're buying a hat this Good Friday, make sure it's an authentic one and you actually want to buy it. But if you're out in the streets, if you're out fighting the crowds today, just breathe, take a breath, relax. It's not worth getting into a scuffle or a car accident over a TV or whatever. Just drive carefully.
Which, again, I think I have no data to support this, but I think that Black Friday in-person sales have gone down.
They have. Yes, they have a little bit because of online shopping.
Most stores, online and in-person, now do like Black Friday week.
Yeah, I know.
It starts all of November, right? You can get sales.
Well, speaking of being on the roads and traveling, this in, according to the AAA, 1.1 million Wisconsinites are expected to travel this weekend. This year's holiday forecast is a 2.4% increase over last year, the third highest in 2001. How much time do we have left here, Mr. Sommers, before I have to go here?
We've got 5 minutes.
5 minutes or so. All right, good. Got some time. I just want to know how much of this we can share. According to the AAA of Wisconsin, they project 1.1 million Wisconsinites will travel 50 miles or more during the Thanksgiving Day travel period. This year's forecast, as we said, the third highest on record. I will be traveling about 68 miles one way.
I'll be traveling about 114.
All right, there you go.
Which is
a specific number.
But
we are part of the statistic.
Indeed.
here's some useful information. First of all, gas prices, by the way, are way down. I know as we record this, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, gas in Madison, $2.99 a gallon.
The Quick Trip near my house is $2.89, so really? Even lower.
Wow, even lower. So Americans, Wisconsinites in particular, are paying less for your gas. So I think that's, you know, I think that's fantastic news, and certainly for those of us who travel. But here's some useful information, because if you're thinking about, there's always a discussion with parents or whoever, well, you better get on the road or whatever. Here, according to the AAA, and no reason not to believe the AAA, right? According to AAA, the best and worst times to travel for the rest of the holiday weekend. Today, Friday, November 24th, worst time to travel is right now, noon until 4 o'clock. Just sit your rear end down, enjoy some leftover turkey. Don't go anywhere. You're going to want to travel after 7 o'clock tonight. If you're not already on the road, just wait until after 7 o'clock tonight. Otherwise, tomorrow, on Saturday, November 25th, the worst times to travel are between 3 and 5. Best time tomorrow, get on the road before 12 noon. All right? And then on Sunday, November 26th, the worst time to travel between 3 and 5. Best to get on the road before 12 noon if you're traveling on Sunday.
That's the route I'm going to take is
really, yeah.
Hang around for Saturday and then leave early in the morning.
Yep, that's the best. I'm going to be traveling all over the place this weekend. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be in Madison. I'm going to be up at Richland Center. My youngest godson, Jason, is home from Seattle. And so I got to figure out a way to get down to Monroe, Wisconsin, and Greene County to see him. So I love seeing everybody. But yes, I will be one of those traveling on the road. So there you go. So hopefully some helpful information as you plan your travel plans across the state of Wisconsin, and a lot of people flying as well. Thank goodness there's no government shutdown. So
yeah, that would have been catastrophic.
Absolutely disastrous. So hope you enjoyed the show today. Again, it is Friday, the 24th of November, 2023. It is Black Friday. Have a wonderful day. We're going to bring you some of these things that are pre-recorded, a special holiday edition. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you back here with an all-new live show on Monday. Coming up next, we're going to have a great visit. You're not going to want to miss this with our wonderful friend, John Roach of Madison Magazine. Also, he is a great author. He is a screenwriter. Talking about a lot of different... He is also an alum of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a huge Badger fan. So John Roach is going to talk to us a little bit about the big game tomorrow against the Golden Gophers for the Axe, Battle for the Axe. Again, game time is 2:30 tomorrow on Saturday. You can hear that game right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and also on the Civic Media app via WRCE. We're talking about that. Also talk a little politics with John Roach and kind of what's been going on in Madison here the last week or so. You had Nazis marched around, a bunch of schmucks, a bunch of yahoos, a bunch of idiots. John will give you his opinion on that as well. And talk a little holiday Thanksgiving tradition, Thanksgiving weekend here with John Roach as well. Not going to want to miss that. Also, much more ahead on this special Black Friday edition of the Todd Allbo Show and the Civic Media Radio Network. Make it a great day. More on the other side. Back with a new show, live show on Monday. Enjoy this special Black Friday edition for Mr. Zombers and myself. Make it a great day. Stay tuned. John Roach is next right here on the Todd Allbo Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Mr. Clean.
Of course I use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to clean tough messes off my stovetop and bathtub. But then I discovered I can also use it to easily clean my patio furniture and even my shoes. I'm hooked!
And when wipes won't cut it, I use Magic Eraser Sheets. They're thin and flexible erasers, perfect for everyday messes, like gunk on my counters and sinks. They really are magical.
The reviews are in. Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and Sheets make cleaning look easy.
Football season is back, and no matter which home team you root for, there's one thing everyone in the Midwest can agree on. If you're tailgating or grilling at home, Nothing beats a freshly baked Village Hearth bun. An old-fashioned hot dog bun is the perfect accompaniment for a brat or a hot dog and all the toppings your little heart desires. And for the best burgers, you just can't beat the Village Hearth classic bun. So head to the store and pick up some Village Hearth buns. The weekend is almost here.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show, 20 now past the hour. Welcome in here. We have our monthly conversation with our friend and ongoing contributor, John Roach. He is a great author, worked for Madison Magazine for several years, still appears in several columns here and there, works on screenplays. In fact, John, I was, my dad recently had a bit, he was a teacher for like, you know, 40 years. And he had a bunch of DVDs that he played for his kids, and he was going to give a bunch of them away. And I said, well, let me go through those. And so I was going through, and one of the DVDs that he had, which I had not, I did not have it on DVD, I've talked about it before, was the screenplay that you co-wrote, The Straight Story.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's The Straight Story's had a little rebirth with the Disney Channel because it the domestic distribution rights belong to the Disney company, obviously, yeah, when the film premiered at the Cannes Film Festival, which was a wonderful thing to be a part of. Mm-hmm. The opening credit came up and it said, Walt Disney presents a David Lynch film. And the whole crowd started laughing, understandably. Right. It was a unique pairing. And now with the Disney Channel becoming, you know, pretty, you know, pretty much everywhere, yeah, because of, especially primarily because of kids. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the theatrical offerings, you know, the non-animated offerings they have on the Disney Channel. And it still gets great reviews, a small film, but one that, you know, I can't help but be proud of.
You should be very, very proud of it. It's still to date one of my all-time favorite films, just because, not just because of the writing, which is fantastic, which what you were a part of, but just the way that the film allows the story to be told. It's like slow food or a pour over coffee. It's not rushed. It's not hurried. It's organic and it's beautifully laid out and just allows itself to happen. And that's really the key to the whole film, I think.
Yeah. My old friend, Doug Moe once called it defiantly slow.
That's good.
And it's just such a wonderful counterpoint to, you know, it's a total change of pace from a lot of the films that are out there now, very rapid fire and CGI and all that sort of stuff, which there's certainly a place for that. But,
there is.
You know, David kind of made European style films pretty much. So, yeah. And did them very well. And still does.
By the way, you don't know this, but those listening to our Black Friday show this Friday are going to hear this segment again, because we're going to replay this. Even before I knew what it was going to be, I said, well, anything John Roach is going to be good enough, we can replay. So some people are hearing this on Friday. So just to let people know, we were reporting that over the weekend, Donald Trump was campaigning or disputing this whole thing that he had gotten a golden shower by some hookers over in Iowa. And you came in over the break and you said, I never followed a segment about golden showers before, but you said you think it's,
you know,
true.
What they say, never follow chimpanzees is, you know, an old show business adage. But yeah, I've never followed a urine act before,
but you think, you agree, it there's a lot of validity to it that it actually happened.
Well, look, you know, the story is that as a courtesy to Trump, the people doing you know, competitor research, mm-hmm, which they'd hired, you know, a respected British intelligence officer to do, came upon this rumor about Trump in Moscow that was in the pipeline. And as a courtesy to Trump, they gave it to him, right? Mm-hmm. Should he become president, that's good to know what compromise they might have on you. True or not, right?
Right.
In this era of false news and AI-generated content, you know, the leader of the free world should know what the opposition has on him. But somehow Trump took umbrage with it and made it public. It was not made public by the Clinton campaign. And so, and there is a little bit of thou doth protest too much with it.
Right.
And if you consider the fact that Donald Trump you know, thrice married, and all sorts of lurid charges made to him by all sorts against him by all sorts of women. And he was doing a beauty pageant in Moscow, surrounded by pretty women. God only knows what transpired, given his character, honestly, his character. And so it wouldn't surprise me if Putin had compromise on him. I mean, not at all. And certainly in light of the fact of how he was so deferential to Putin during his administration, including taking a private meeting with Putin when he visited the U.S. with no one in the room. That's crazy. So, you know, I'm not a Trump fan. So,
neither am I. How about McRibs? They ever had a McRib sandwich?
Not a McRib guy. I do agree with you on the breakfast egg McMuffin,
right?
Sausage McMuffin.
Yeah, that's hard to beat.
A great, great a filling breakfast. And I am partial to the occasional order of McDonald's French fries.
Yeah, I know.
You just,
right?
You know, I'm old enough to remember when McDonald's first broke upon the scene with a big Catholic family, Irish Catholic family going down to Park Street in Madison. The first one was on Park Street. It was Kelly's and then became McDonald's. And you'd get a pickle with your hamburger, which was viewed as novel. But the whole idea of just getting a bag of burgers and throwing them at your kids in the car was unheard of. They didn't even serve you car side like A&W did and hang a tray on the window, which that was already being done. But just to have pre-wrapped burgers with no plates, no utensils, and you just eat it out of the wrapper and the fries and the burger. For a young couple with a lot of kids, it was a great way to feed a lot of young, hungry mouths. And obviously, it was a business concept that has stood the test of time.
done very, very well. And like I said, when it comes to actual burgers, I just, for me, it's just hard to beat a Culver's Butter Burger. On the fresh frozen, the fresh never frozen.
Yeah, you know, I like Culver's, but I'll tell you, there's an above premium craft burger out there called Mooya Burgers. Have you heard of them?
All right.
They're pretty
Mooya
good.
Burgers. There are two or three franchises in Madison. That is a great cheeseburger. Oh,
really?
My. And good fries.
All right.
It's pricey, but boy, is it good. It's right up there with Five Guys and In-N-Out, where they're, you know, kind of these, you know, like their craft beers. Now they're craft burger joints.
Right.
But Mooya Burger is really good. But Culver's, you know, I remember my wife and I were escaping the winter weather and we were in Florida. And out of nowhere, my wife spied Culver's down in Florida. Uh-huh. And she screamed in the car like I thought we had hit a small animal or something. And she just screamed, "There's a Culver's, pull over." And so it's a little taste of home down in Florida, but I guess they're throwing a lot of them up there down in Florida now.
Yeah.
You know, Craig Culver, kind of a genius.
A real genius. And the thing is, I've had the occasion to, I don't want to say he's, you know, I don't know him, a close friend, but through my associate with politics and stuff, I kind of got to know him and was around him a little bit. And just one of the chillest, most humble guys. And really, the thing I love about Craig Culver, I think he still does it. He goes to one of his franchisees. It used to be once a week. Now it might be once a month. And actually works, like on the grill or busing or whatever. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. No, it's a... you know, there are a lot of these entrepreneurial stories around Madison, you know, between Judith Faulkner, Greg Linton at Promega, Craig Culver, you know, the Bakke family with Sub-Zero refrigerators on the southwest side of town. Remarkable American manufacturing story. You know, Madison has a lot of these stories and they're, you know, pretty remarkable.
They're super remarkable, and I think during we'll come back and talk about this on the other side during this Thanksgiving week, a lot to be thankful for. We'll ask John Roach of some Thanksgiving traditions of his family, and what he thinks of the holiday now. That is also Axe Week for Wisconsin Badgers. They got a win, John. They're back on the winning streak as he looks a bit surprised. Back with more with Mr. John Roach on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
It's Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Reedsburg man wanted for the death of his pregnant girlfriend is arrested in Missouri. Authorities there say they caught Jose Dominguez Garcia in a vehicle with stolen plates early yesterday morning. He'd been on the run since about the same time Rosalie Rodriguez's body was found in a suitcase near Eau Claire in 2020. Dominguez Garcia is charged with first-degree murder, murder of an unborn child, and hiding a corpse. A Door County woman is thankful for all the help she's getting from her neighbors. Stephanie Laskonski of Bailey's Harbor is a mother of six who's paralyzed from the chest down due to several autoimmune diseases. She's getting donations collected from spectators at yesterday's Thanksgiving Day parade in Jacksonport. The community chooses one family in need to benefit each year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A small company creates a big business because of its leftover Thanksgiving turkey and what it means to meals today. An Instacart survey shows 98% of grocery store shoppers buy a half dozen frozen meals every year. But in 1954, it takes an over-order by Swanson Foods for the idea of a reheatable dinner to become reality. Employees at the time are facing 260 tons of extra turkey, and rather than eat the huge financial loss, individual turkey dinners are created using airline meals as an example. Each tray includes the turkey along with dressing, potatoes, gravy, and peas in individual sections. It's frozen, shipped off to grocery stores, and before the end of the year, 10 million of these trays, now being called TV dinners, are sold at just 98 cents a piece. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr. The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies this afternoon with a high of 28. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, 18. High of 30 tomorrow. A dusting of snow Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 24.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Yeah, freedom. pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 34 minutes past the hour. Welcome in. Glad to have you here. And we are certainly glad for our monthly visit with our friend and ongoing contributor. He is Mr. John Roach, an author, a playwright. I like to call him a renaissance man because John is one of those guys who's done everything, kind of seen everything. And you could. I hope people are sitting with their hot cup of cider on this Thanksgiving weekend or whatever other beverage that they enjoy, because you're, John, one of these people that I just love to listen to. And you tell it absolutely. You write fantastically. You tell great stories. We were talking over the break that over this past weekend, former First Lady Rosalynn Carter passed away at the age of 96. And to me, and I talked about this on As Goes Wisconsin with Jane and Greg filling in for Kristen Bry. To me, she epitomized the definition of a helper. That she was a humanitarian and a helper. I didn't know until we were just talking during the break. You had the opportunity to talk with and interview the former First Lady, Rosalynn Carter. What are your thoughts?
I thought she was an impressive woman. I thought she was a serious woman, a woman of substance. She wasn't frivolous. You know, there was in the prep, they said, you know, they called her the Iron Magnolia, that she was... very much a partner with Jimmy in his decision making, but she handled herself with great dignity. You know, as much as you can learn with someone with a half an hour in an interview, sure. But handled herself with great dignity, measured her responses, and was a serious person.
What was the occasion
that was an overwhelming reaction?
Was it a political piece or a feature piece? Do you remember what it was?
I don't know what she was touring for. You know, this was back in my Chicago days. There was a flurry of interviews that I produced and did with Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., Teddy Kennedy. But I think this was after it. It might have been one of her initiatives as First Lady, and it might have been a book after. I think it was probably for a book. Now that I think back on it.
Well, you brought up, she was one of the first people to really be visible with her husband, since he only had male presidents so far. Well, one of the first ladies to sit in cabinet meetings, to really be an advisor to the president. I think maybe at the time that rubbed some people the wrong way. She was also a great advocate for talking openly about mental health and advocating for that after her stint as first lady.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. No, I mean, she was an honorable woman, as Jimmy was an honorable man. I don't know that Jimmy was one of our greatest presidents. I think he was a stranger to Washington and never quite got his footing there. But, you know, you could argue he's the greatest ex-president we've ever had. He illustrates or exhibits the kind of behavior you expect from a former president in the United States of America, a real honorable guy too. I don't know that he had the right staff. I read a great book by Haynes Johnson, who was a Wisconsin grad, who was a longtime writer for the Washington Post. It was called In the Absence of Power. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy's staff didn't know how to work Congress very well in the outset. And they had Tip O'Neill as Speaker of the House, and they didn't work very closely with him on some of those initiatives. That was a mistake, I think. But that's a very long time ago. Rosalynn had great dignity is the first thing that springs to mind.
The former president's still with us. He's now, I believe, 98 or 99. But Rosalynn passed away at 96. I mean, all the great work they did with Habitat for Humanity. Sure. And our friend and colleague Earl Ingram on his morning show pointed out that isn't the irony of the current iteration of the MAGA Republican Party trying to literally wrap itself within Christianity. Right or wrong, John, or agree, disagree, we might not have ever had a great example of a true Christian in the White House is Jimmy Carter and Rosalynn Carter.
There's no question. I was thinking the same thing. He is what I think Jesus Christ had in mind for his followers. Right. I'm not sure the MAGA people are at all. I think they're just the opposite, actually. And they use they shroud themselves in Christianity and do things that are hideous and don't resemble it. And I'm speaking as someone who had 12 years of religious education. So, yeah.
Speaking of things that were hideous, I want to get your thoughts on. We talked about this at the top of the show, but I'd just like to get your thoughts as a UW grad, as a you know a Madisonian. That over the weekend we had 15, 20 Yahoos, schmucks, neo-Nazis marching here in Madison, and by all accounts they were not local. They got a U-Haul truck in darkness afterwards and drove away. But to me, it's just repugnant. It's disgusting. When you saw this over the weekend, John, what were your thoughts?
I was appalled. I didn't know about it, and I'll tell you, I wish I had known about it and could have gone down because I, you know, they wore the pictures that I saw. They wore ski masks,
all
right?
But two. Yep,
and I wanted to follow them, and you know, roll tape on them when they peeled those masks off.
Yep,
and to out them. Now they're within their rights to have that march. I think it's good that we are able to identify them, and then subject them to the derision that they deserve. But whenever I see these dopes, I'm reminded of the Blues Brothers where, you know, the Nazis marched in Skokie, and it's like there's a famous line that says, "I hate Illinois Nazis." Right. I mean, you know, they're a caricature of themselves. They're sad, you know, incel, ignorant white guys. Mm. And they're... they're pathetic creatures, but they're also dangerous creatures.
Yeah.
And the fact that Trump has gotten a footing in our democracy with the kind of rhetoric that these guys trot out is appalling to me, mm-hmm. you know? And I was more inclined to take them lightly 10 years ago than I am now in light of what has happened to America with Donald Trump.
Well, speak to that if you could. Again, we're talking with John Roach, a longtime, lifelong Madisonian, author and screenwriter, all around just great guy and an observer of life, John Roach. John, talk to us, our audience, a little bit about your time going to campus here at UW-Madison, protests and that sort of thing, versus what's going on now. It seems to me if I was certainly a person of the Jewish faith, a student on campus here, other places, but even someone of the Islamic faith, the anti-Semitism, the Islamophobia, the amount of hate that is just, it seems to me it's gotten worse, John. Or as someone who's lived a few more years than me, is it just relevant?
No, I think there are two things at work. First of all, I think Donald Trump gave mainstream legitimacy to playing the hate card. And mm-hmm. I think, and then the second reason is that social media has given everyone a platform and made what used to be embarrassing behavior commonplace. You know, I grew up in the era of the John Birch Society and, you know, kind of radical right stuff, certainly the Klan, certainly the civil rights movement of the 60s, you know, garnered a reactionary, you know, reactionary activities from the far right, the Klansmen, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, a Wisconsin grad was killed, you know, during the civil rights marches, you know, there was a movie about it that, what was it called? Darn it. Escapes me now, but
yeah,
so it's there, right? But there it to me it's a function of who's allowed to fan the flames, to blow on the embers, and that's what Trump has done. It's always been there, will always be there, but Donald Trump gave it legitimacy. He gave cruelty legitimacy. And then social media acts like you know, is a bullhorn for him.
Yeah.
And there are no rules in social media. And so people are allowed to say the most awful things. And now we have Elon Musk, who seems to have lost his ever-loving mind, you know, espousing marginal things that no self-respecting business person should. In the name of free speech, which he's mistaken, speech isn't free and it's not absolute. You have to exercise responsibility when you speak, and he hasn't. So he I feel like he's envies Trump for some reason. It's a weird thing. But I do think right now it's worse because of Trump and because of social media. And I like social media.
Right.
but unregulated social media brings out a lot of weird people, a lot of hateful, uninformed, ignorant people.
And we talked about this story briefly earlier about Elon Musk and DeSantis on Jake Tapper's show refused to repudiate it or call it out. But good on all these companies.
Well, DeSantis, can I say, yeah. DeSantis is trying to make a living punching down.
Right.
He picks the most vulnerable people in our society and he makes them a punching bag, which he picked that strategy up from Trump. Immigrants are powerless and he punches down on them. Trans people, which is an incredibly small percentage of our population, and somehow he wants to punch down there. Mm. He is picking up Trump's gauntlet of fear and anger as a campaign strategy instead of talking about solutions and hope. I'm embarrassed for DeSantis. And I do think he wears lifts in his shoes. And he's one of the most socially uncomfortable political candidates I have ever seen.
Right?
He has a hard time mustering a smile. I mean, right. What is that?
But you,
I find, to your point, I think Nikki Haley is the only legitimate, you know, between Trump, Haley, and DeSantis, mm-hmm. Haley's the only person who seems remotely sane to me. And I don't agree with her on her, you know, platform or anything, mm-hmm. but she actually seems like a sane human being.
Talk to me about, because you mentioned all these past former presidents that you've interviewed and been involved, interviewed a lot of political figures over your life and career. What do you make of the current iteration of the MAGA party going back and trying to, over the weekend, relitigate January 6th and trying to say it was the feds doing this? They keep trying to bring back the past. All these people you mentioned, whether it was Kennedy or either Bush or Reagan, they were always talking about the future or more about what they offered people in the future. Why are fewer politicians talking about, particularly on the MAGA Republican side, less about what they offer in the future and trying to relitigate the past?
Well, they have to, I mean, they're going through a crisis of identity. They have nothing to offer a new generation of Americans. They have nothing to say to people who live on the margins of our society, so they choose to demonize them. The problem with the Republican Party is that, you know, they made noise about a big tent and then they abandoned that strategy. Mm. But they have no future unless they adopt a strategy similar to that. And so what I mean, personally, as someone who studied history at the university, I think this is a party in its death throes, mm. because the demographics don't bode well for them. No. And in the midst of it all, here, you know, comes the reversal of Roe v. Wade. Mm. Independent of the issue itself, it from a political standpoint, it's be careful what you wish for. Mm. Because I think that reversal and the Donald Trump's stacking of the deck in the Supreme Court, that is going to walk into every polling booth with every woman in America come next fall. And it was just like my wife said. She said, I think Donald Trump's going to do better than people think against Hillary. They just don't want to admit they're going to vote for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Roe v. Wade reversal is going to have the same effect. Even Republican women who ostensibly support Trump or support stuff that's right of center, mm-hmm. when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because they know someone, or they themselves have had to look at that decision for themselves as women. And that is that cuts to the very essence of what a person, what a woman is, and what she can be, and what she can decide. And I think that is, frankly, to speak in Wisconsin terminology, mm-hmm. the reverse of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again. I think that's perfect analogy. We're using that in the promo. Mark that down, Mr. Summers. We're going to come back, talk Thanksgiving, and talk Axe Week. Can the Flexsters beat the Flicksters, or Flick and Fleck? We'll talk about it after this. Stay tuned to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
An RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up right now, John Roach, Madison author, screenwriter, all-around great guy, Renaissance man, joins us once a month. We appreciate it so much, John. Let's get into it. It is Axe Week. Your Wisconsin Badgers found a way to win and beat Nebraska. I did not know this. I forget. It might have been Patricus. One of the sports writers pointed out the last time Nebraska Cornhuskers beat the Badgers at Camp Randall, the winning score was scored by Barry Alvarez. I did not know that.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
How about that?
Can I tell you, when Nebraska joined the Big Ten, I was at that first game when they played in Madison. Yeah. I just thought, these people are in for a rude awakening. But I was happy they joined the Big Ten because after walking around, I realized that Wisconsin people were no longer going to be the fattest people in red in the Big Ten. And I took comfort in that because they they're pretty corn fed out in Nebraska.
They are.
It was a great win for Luke Fickell. Tanner Mordecai put the Badgers on his back.
Yep.
They outscored the Cornhuskers 24-3 in quarters 2, 3, 4 in OT to their credit. Luke Fickell has a lot of work to do in the offseason. He has a reputation of being a good recruiter. That prowess will be put to the test. I'm not convinced. I don't think the Badgers have an offensive identity yet. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that Phil Longo knows what their identity is yet. I think that they need more wide receivers. Clearly, we lose Tanner Mordecai. That's a big deal with the offense Fickell wants to run. And we also need to get a pass rush. But I do think we're in the hunt. I don't know if we're favored against Minnesota, but I imagine we might be.
I haven't seen the line, but I think maybe.
I do think that second to Michigan versus Ohio State, Wisconsin versus Minnesota is the best rivalry in Big Ten football. The Axe is an icon that is known beyond the region. And I think the Badgers, if Mordecai stays healthy, they have a better than I think actually losing Pauling is the biggest thing. Is their most dependable receiver. Mm-hmm. He's a receiver who could actually be drafted. And he came up lame on an ankle. And if he doesn't play, that's a big deal. I love beating PJ Fleck. I just love beating him but I also think PJ Fleck is the future. That is what head coaches are going to be. They're going to be marketers. They're going to be, drum beaters. You know, Paul Christ, who was a family friend, he was more of a good old fashioned football coach. Fickell is more of the CEO type. Mm-hmm. That is the nature of the beast, given all the money that is on the table now.
Right.
You're going to see more guys like Fleck than Paul, I dare say. But it just tickles me no end to see the Badgers beat the Gophers. I will also say that my daughter, who's a Badger grad, has a friend who made a replica of the Axe, and they bring it every Badger Wisconsin game. And I do have a picture of myself with the Axe that I fly every weekend when the Badgers play the Gophers. I grew up within 5 blocks of Camp Randall. So,
Oh, that's great. My favorite, most recent, our next door neighbor back at Richland Center, Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion, captain of the team his senior year, along with Russell Wilson and Aaron Henry. There's a great photo after they won the axe. It was either 10 or 11 of Brady holding the axe and number 34 running around Camp Randall. So I always post that.
Brady threw the block that sprung the Wisconsin kick returner in the opening kickoff against Ohio State.
Yeah. Right,
most famous block in Wisconsin history.
I will tell him.
I believe he'll
get a big kick out of that.
I think it was Brady.
I'm pretty sure you're right, but Brady is humble and honest enough. He'll tell me if it wasn't. So we'll report back next month to you. But I think you're sure. Absolutely right. The axe, and you can hear that here on Civic Media Radio Network on Richland Center, WRCE, also Racine, Kenosha, Amory, and Wisconsin Rapids. We've got Matt LaPay and Mark Tellinger on the call. Mike Keller with the post game show always does a great job. You can hear that, or you can
Matt and Mark are the best, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can also stream that on the Civic Media app, the big axe game this Saturday. We'll check. It's either a 2:30 or a 6 game. I'm not sure, but we will check on that. Very quickly, a couple of minutes left, John. It is Thanksgiving week. Any reflections or thoughts, traditions in your family when it comes to Thanksgiving?
Well, we just had the second grandchild in our family.
Yes, congratulations, Calvin. By the way.
And both my daughter and Calvin and Calvin's sister Rose and my daughter Maggie's husband Brian are doing great, as is the rest of the family who is helping take care of them. So you always are grateful when everyone's healthy after an event like that. The older I get, the less I take it for granted.
Right.
On Thanksgiving, I'm always grateful for the big families that both my wife and I belong to, because my wife's sisters make a massive assortment of pies.
Oh my God. That's great.
I don't bother with the turkey or the stuffing or the gravy, although I'm partial to mashed potatoes being of Irish descent. But boy, they lay out like 5 pies, and I just cut to the pies. Apple pie, pumpkin pie, and I like fake have an entree just so I can get right to the pies. And that's what I'm really grateful for. And there's another thing I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
This Thanksgiving, the Packers play the Lions in the morning, and that throws back to my youth when the Lions had Yale Larry and Night Train Lane and all these old names, and obviously the Packers had all the Lombardi Packers.
For people,
but that was true Americana when the Lions played the Packers on Thanksgiving Day, and no one else played that game.
Right. Well, people hearing this on Friday will know the results, but our friend and colleague Earl Ingram has bet dyeing his gray hair black if the Packers win, and Gilbert Brown is going to give an autographed shirt, I think, to Earl.
The Lions are ascendant, and I'm happy for them because no one has suffered longer than Lions fans.
Right.
And the city of Detroit deserves a winner.
Great conversation with our friend John Roach. Really appreciate him making time for us on this holiday weekend, and always glad to have him on. He's with us once a month, John Roach, here at Civic Media, the Todd Allbowl Show. Coming up in hour number two, happy to have our owner and CEO of Civic Media, Sage Weil, making a rare appearance on the air with us as we celebrated this month our one-year anniversary on Civic Media. We're going to look back on the last year with Sage and what's ahead in 2024 in terms of Civic Media and trying to make sure that we save democracy in 2024. Also, Matt Solomon from Crack.com, he was with us earlier as well, has a great piece on Phil Hartman. 75 years he would be if he'd be still with us. He interviewed some of the people on Saturday Night Live that worked with Phil Hartman. The 75 best sketches of Phil Hartman, according to the friends that knew him best, Matt Solomon, on hour number two. Stay right where you are. Hour number two ahead of the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Ike Ajaji. The first group of hostages have been released by Hamas. They include 12 Israeli detainees, women and children. In addition, 11 Thai nationals and one Philippine citizen have been released. This